You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I'm going to have a somewhat shorter show, mainly because I've been playing catch up, trying to get caught up in post-production. I always listen to my past shows, do some editing to get really rid of the dead air time to shorten it, and I usually can reduce it by roughly 20-25%. So that's why I go to the trouble of doing that, to make it as compact as possible. And because of that, just takes time. It usually takes me, for every hour, probably takes me 2 hours, and there's some posting that has to take place. Now, if you're new to the show, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have links to my most recent 60 to 80 shows. At the very bottom, you'll have links to all my shows, with the exception of some of the very earliest shows that were overwritten. And in between, you'll have what I call my show prep notes. And that typically is newspaper articles, YouTube videos, opinion pieces, photographs, charts, and it depends on the story. Today I'm going to focus just on one story, mainly because it's been in the news, and it is on the news today. It's really been the topic in terms of talk radio. Now, some people that have 2 to 3 hour shows, and I normally do have a 2 hour show, a solid 2 hours with no call-ins, no advertising on Fridays. Most of my shows are typically between 40 to 60 minutes, time permitting, because I'm more or less subject to faculty availability. They have to be here to supervise the studio. So this week, hopefully next week, I won't run into this problem. I've been in a time crunch, so my shows are running about 35, 40 minutes, not the typical 40 to 60 minutes. And part of the other problem is simply show prep. I've had limited time to show prep this, but I know quite a bit on it, and I really wanted to give you the context, the big picture, the long-term picture, what I think is going to happen. Now, what am I talking about? House Speaker John Boehner went to the floor of the House today and essentially threw down the gauntlet to Barack Obama and called him on his unconstitutional, what they're calling constitutional overreach of the president in the area of illegal immigration or illegal aliens, and the attempt by the president of the United States to write immigration law. Now, the president is a graduate of Harvard Law School, where he concentrated on constitutional law. He also taught constitutional law as an adjunct instructor at the University of Chicago. So he knows a little bit about constitutional law. And when he was campaigning the first time, and even the second time for president, but primarily the first time, he made a big point that many of the problems that the United States faces today is we're not following the Constitution. And if you vote me for president, I will follow the Constitution. That's what he said. What he's actually doing is, it was a lie, he's doing the opposite. And the best example of this, and it's an egregious example, is the fact what he's doing in the area of immigration, in particular illegal immigration. Only Congress, and the president knows this, under Article 1, can pass legislation or pass laws. They actually pass a bill, The House would pass a bill. It goes to the Senate. They pass a bill. Then it typically goes to the conference where they resolve any differences. And then they vote on it, assuming it gets out of both the House and the Senate. And the conference report is agreed on. The bill goes to the president, where typically the president would sign the bill. The problem until this month has been the fact that the House of Representatives is controlled by the Republicans, and the leader of the Republicans in the House is the House Speaker, John Boehner. However, the Senate was controlled by the Democrats, Harry Reid. Now that is reversed. Now the Republican Party controls both the House and the Senate. They control the Senate by 54 versus the Democrats 46. And that's, in essence, a flip of where it was before. So now, since the House and the Senate are both controlled by the same party, more legislation will get passed and sent to the president. Because what was happening is Harry Reid was making sure that literally none or very little legislation would make it to the president's desk. That was the problem. He wouldn't even let people vote for taking a vote on it. And they were doing this, and as a result, nothing happened. It was a deadlock. Now the deadlock hopefully will be broken, at least in terms of Congress, where most of the legislation proposed will ultimately make it to the president's desk, where it will be up to the president to say yes or no. And I think it's a fair assumption that what he's going to say to most of the legislation is no. He's going to veto it, and then it's up to the Congress to override the veto, and they simply won't have the votes. You're going to need 67 votes, for example, in the Senate. You need two-thirds. So it's not going to be overridden in the House or the Senate. There's no way to override a presidential veto. So my anticipation is, knowing this president and his ideology, he's a far leftist. You can call him a progressive, liberal, social democrat, socialist. I don't care. He's for big government. He wants to make it bigger. He wants to expand the size and the scope of government. He's into what I call Santa Claus socialism. The most recent example, and I'll have more to say on this, is a proposal to provide people with 2 years of free community college education. Assuming certain conditions are met, they maintain a certain grade point and take a certain number of hours. Now, we're going to hear more of the details next week in the President's State of the Union message on Monday. And I'll definitely be talking about it, either this Friday or on my Monday or Tuesday show. I don't favor it, by the way, for a lot of reasons. Because the problem, ladies and gentlemen, I'm at a junior college. What junior college is what they used to be called. 4-year colleges were called senior colleges or senior universities. And 2-year colleges, the first 2 years, your freshman and sophomore years, were called junior colleges. Now they're called community college because they have a much broader role. It's not just for the first 2 years. There are people here, such as myself, that come back to college to get a limited amount of skills. In my case, initially it was programming, then it was web design and programming, and now it is radio. I'm trying to break into radio and get a nationally syndicated show. I think I'm fully capable, could handle it today, but it takes a break. And I think ultimately I will get that break. Talent typically rules out, but there are a lot of people. Just talk to musicians. I had a barber once that had several records. That wasn't the problem. And I asked him, well, why did you never make it big? He said, we never had that one hit. And again, he played with all the greats, Roy Orbison, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lewis, all of them, Janis Joplin. He had pictures. And that's why. Because a lot of people that are talented, musicians in this case, he had records. It wasn't a case of not having any records. And he toured, and he's really big in Europe. He's still doing tours. So I think ultimately talent will win out. That's my hope, if you will. But I understand that you have to pay your dues. You have to practice. And my skill level has dramatically increased. My confidence has increased. My skill levels have increased. I'm not there yet. There's always room for improvement. And I am going to make a number of changes this year and probably next year. We'll be hitting my 400th show next Tuesday. We're off The campus is closed, but it'll be my 400th show. So I have a little mileage, but I'm not there yet. I could go on any local station and do a show. I'm not interested in local talk radio. I do primarily national stories. I don't do sports. I don't do music. I don't do religion. I do current events, and you're going to get my opinion on it. So I will, at some near future, talk in depth about my opinion on community college. I think it's an absolutely bad idea. It's more and more what I call Santa Claus socialism. Cradle to grave handouts by the government. See, the problem that the community colleges have, and they don't want to admit the problem, is that only a small percentage actually complete the degree. I'll speak to the Dallas County Community College District. I don't have the most recent statistics, but less than 25% of the students that enroll either in a degree plan or a certification type program actually complete either the degree or the certification. That's scandalous. When I first heard that, I almost fell out of my seat, and I heard it from a chancellor of the district. And he highlighted it as a problem. And I didn't say anything, but the problem is we have people that enroll in courses here that have their reading skill is not at high school level. Forget about 12th grade, not at high school level. And no one can really get through college that's serious without doing a lot of reading. Most courses, it's one or two chapters every week. Multiply by that, a full load would be typically five courses. You got to do a lot of reading, and we have people that simply don't have the reading skills. They definitely don't have the writing or communication skills, and they struggle, and they eventually drop out. And that's the problem. We are wasting throughout the nation money on that. And it needs to stop because the taxpayers, we're out of money. And that's the bigger problem. That's why no more. If you can't cut it, if you can't read after 12 years of education, then find a job that pumping gas, you can't find those anymore, stocking shelves, I'm sorry. The taxpayers are not going to pay an additional 2 years for your education. You see, most people that are A and B students, call them college material, and have, let's say, an IQ of about 110 or 115, can get into four-year colleges, and either through financial aid or taking out loans, can get a four-year degree if that's what they're shooting for. And if money is a problem, let's say they come from families that are low income, then they can save a lot of money by going to a community college. What's happened with community colleges, you simply have people that don't belong here. And they get in because they supposedly have a high school diploma, but they don't. They don't have the skills, and we're talking basic skills here. We're talking reading skills. And as a result, invariably, they don't finish the degree. That's why the number is so low. There are other reasons, but that's the core problem. And they don't want to confront that problem because the name of the game on colleges, including community colleges, is fill the seats. Fill the seats. We have classrooms, we have seats, and we got to fill them. So they make it very, very easy, too easy, to first get admitted and to take courses. And as a result, the completion numbers are a scandal. And I need to say this. The Dallas County Community College District has seven colleges, and I can't speak for the others, but they have a very good reputation, and Richland College is the crown jewel. And I've seen it. I've been in these classes, and there are people that if you can't read, you can't write. If you can't read or write, guess what? You're not very good on your feet expressing yourself. And they invariably drop out. They waste other students' time. They waste the instructor's time, but they are allowed to enroll. And what has been the impact on community colleges? How are they trying to address this? And here's the scandal. I'll get into this in more detail next week. But in essence, they're dumbing down junior colleges. And I've seen it firsthand. And it's a scandal. It is an absolute scandal what they're doing. We have problems with kindergarten through 12th grade, and now we're going to mess up the community college system. I'm totally against what the president is proposing. No one's calling for it. Now, you better believe there are administrators and faculty on this campus that think that's just a terrific idea, isn't that? And they say, well, the government will pay for it. No, it's the taxpayers who they're paying for it now. The district gets state subsidies. And I'll be the first one to say, I think education is way overpriced and way overvalued. And I've had a lot of education. Well, that was my diversion or tease to my show on President Obama's proposal on community college and providing 2 years free. In other words, pay the tuition for 2 years. And that's a subsidy, I would say, somewhere between ballpark, it's about a $4,000 subsidy a year. That's a ballpark. Some states it's going to be higher. Other states it's going to be lower. So we're not talking chump change here, and that's just for tuition. You got to pay for books. My estimate is if you want to take a 1 year is about $10,000 when you add books and tuition. I'm not adding anything in because most for food and clothing, because most of the students commute from their parents' home. So I'm against it, but I'm going to give you more specific details and what's going on next, most likely next week after the president's State of the Union address. So it'll be probably next Tuesday. Now back to what's going on with John Boehner. So he took the floor of the House today and gave, I think it's about a 22-minute speech. And I have part of that speech, the relevant part, in my notes. Now, why is he doing this? Well, he is calling the president out on this, which he should. I am not in any way disagreeing that, if anything, I think it's rather late, but that Speaker Boehner should have done this. And what he's telling the president, you have exceeded your authority as president. Actually, what he's doing is instigating a constitutional crisis. And I say that for this reason. Congress really only has two options when a president of the United States does what Barack Obama is doing, namely making law in the immigration area. Either cut off funding, so what he's trying to do, there's no money to pay for it, so it becomes moot or dead letter, or impeach him. Now, the Republicans, or at least the leadership, we're not going to do impeachment. There's no support for impeachment. Well, there's no support yet because you've never made the case. I think there's a lot of support for impeachment if Congress would make the case, and especially now that both the Senate and the House is controlled by the Republicans. Now, you need to understand why the House can vote for impeachment. It is the Senate that actually becomes the jury, and you need 67 votes. And the Republicans don't have 67 votes. They have 54, assuming all the Republicans go along with it. And I think under the right circumstances, you could pick up maybe 5 or 10 additional Democrats. You truly made the case. But I don't think they could get to 67. I could see it happening, though, if they had certain people testifying and it could be clearly shown that the president's behavior borders on treason. And I think that evidence is there. And I'll get into that a little bit later. And it's regarding, there are a lot of scandals. Let me back up. If the House should ever go forward with a bill of impeachment, it will have several articles. Think of them as counts. And there are a number of scandals, some more serious than others. Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the IRS, and now what he's doing in terms of illegal immigration. Those are just four. There are others, but those are the biggies. And there's some grounds in all of them for impeachment. But you have to set the foundation. You really need to convince the American people by calling and having a joint select committee, both of the House and the Senate, to investigate this. They don't want to go there. The Republicans are scared to death of Barack Obama. They think it would be foolhardy to impeach the first black president. They'd be called racist by the media. How dare they do this? So if you ask me, should we impeach the president today? My answer would be no. You have to have these hearings and you got to make the case. You got to lay the foundation for it, just like the Democrats did with Richard Nixon. Initially, they could never get an impeachment on him or conviction, but through investigations, hearings, witnesses, they made enough of a case that Richard Nixon resigned because he was told by his own party he simply would not have the votes to stop conviction in the Senate. And at that point, Richard Nixon resigned. Do I think it could happen with Barack Obama? Yes. But you're going to need leadership, and we don't have leadership, as far as I'm concerned, in the House and the Senate, or maybe a more diplomatic way to say, I don't think we have very effective leadership. They're afraid of Barack Obama. They're afraid of the media. Who are they not afraid of? They are not afraid of the American people, but more specifically, they're not afraid of their voter base. Now, I think that is a serious mistake because their voter base is mad and they're watching real closely what the Republicans are doing or not doing. And one of the areas they're paying a lot of attention to is what, if anything, Congress is going to do in regards to illegal immigration. So the big picture here is we have a constitutional crisis. We have an imperial president that's dictating to Congress what he's going to do by executive action or through regulation, exceed his authority as president. He wants to provide an estimated roughly 5 million illegal aliens with legal status to work in the United States. And for the majority, that means they have a work permit. It's an employment authorization document. It looks like a driver's license. And if you have that card and there's a period of time that it's valid for, you can work in the United States. That's just the first step. Ultimately, he wants most, if not all, of these 5 million to have permanent legal status, a so-called green card. There's only one problem with this. Congress has not passed the law that you need to authorize it. Now, the president and the Department of Homeland Security have gone out and got proposals, and I assume by now have those cards, and they're handing them out as I speak. In other words, he's violating his oath of office. He's betraying his oath of office. He's violating the law. And now, at least, if you pay attention, assuming that the newscast will actually broadcast Boehner speak, I doubt they're going to have a very long clip if they have anything. So if you just watched this entire little speech, you might get the impression he is going to stop the president. We're not going to have this illegal immigration. You will be fooled. This is theater, folks. This is like watching a television show. It is for the people that are uninformed. And that's what politicians today count on, that most people are not following what they're doing. So at best, they hear or see very short clips that don't give you the context, don't try to connect the dots. And you're what I call dots, dummies on the street. You're ill-informed. You're either totally uninformed or you have no way of evaluating what you're seeing. And that's a problem. It's a challenge. It's especially a challenge where you have most of the television and print media on President Obama's side. That's why the Republicans have taken off the table impeachment. Remember, that is one of two options that Congress has when a president is engaging in, and he clearly is, no one is debating that. You either impeach him and hopefully convict him, or you cut off the funding. So they have forget about Plan B and impeachment, or the Republican leadership has ruled that out. I don't think it's completely out of the question, though. I think if we had a leadership that wanted to impeach Barack Obama, in other words, to go forward with joint select committees to investigate the various scandals in depth with sworn testimony, I think you, not only could you get an impeachment, I think it would be real close in terms of a conviction. I think the most that they probably could get is 67 votes. And that means at least 13 Republican senators vote for conviction. I think that's the most, under the most optimistic scenario that you could get. But it's not, the probability is not zero. So Plan B is very much Plan B. They're not going to do that unless they're truly pushed, and the only people that will push them is the American people. Now, what's going on? We have in the United States today a two-party tyranny. Both political parties are big government political parties. Because what has happened in the last 85 years? Really starting with President Hoover, but accelerating significantly under President Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and only gotten worse under both Democrats and Republican presidents and Congresses. What has happened? The size and the scope of the federal government has gone up, up, and up. At one time, the size of the federal government was less than 3%. Not that long ago, when President Calvin Coolidge was in office, and total government at all levels was a little over 10, 11, 12% if you add all government spending together. in terms of a percentage of the gross domestic product. Not today. The federal share alone is running around 20%, 20-21%. When you add state and cities, you're looking at somewhere between 40 and 50%. And it might even be over 50%. That's a long way from being in the range of 10 to 15. Government is at least three times bigger on all levels than it was starting in the 1930s. The problem is, as nations go to war, invariably what happens? The size of government gets bigger. Yeah, they pay off, and we did pay off much of the debt incurred to fight World War II, but the size of our government has gotten bigger. A lot of that is military spending. At least it was in the 50s and 60s. Now it's a combination of entitlement spending for Social Security and Medicare, as well as welfare spending, all the welfare programs, earned income credit, food stamps, Section 8 housing, income, welfare checks that you get, as well as national defense and the national interest on the national debt. There's very little that's spent on discretionary spending. That is under 20%. Most of it's what's called mandatory spending, and that's primarily entitlement programs, namely for Social Security and Medicare and for Medicaid. In other words, if you meet certain requirements, you're entitled, for example, to a Social Security check or coverage under Medicare. And as more and more of the baby boom generation retires, and they're retiring at a pace of roughly 10,000 people a day, entitlement spending as a percent of the federal government budget is going to go up, up, and up. But we have a similar problem in terms of welfare spending. And even though there have been cuts to defense spending, and it has gone down, and it's certainly less. At one time, our military spending was upwards of half the federal budget. Today, it's less than 19%. So in terms of the composition of the federal government's budget, defense is way down. You see, the problem of being the policeman of the world and an empire is it costs money, a lot of money. And the essential problem today, the core problem in the United States, and there's several problems, but the core problem that's causing all the problems in other areas is out-of-control government spending. And I know some of you will point out, well, the deficits have been going down. They're still huge, huge. I'm talking $500 billion plus. Until Barack Obama took office, we never had a deficit that big. The deficits are huge, and that has run up the debt, and ultimately that debt time bomb will blow up, and then the changes that we should be making right now will be made, and we'll have to close down federal departments, agencies, and cut back in both entitlement spending and welfare spending and defense spending. That's the problem. And something I'll talk about on a future show, a Gallup poll came out today, and I haven't had time to look at it. I know the essence of it, though. Jobs are created in the private sector, primarily by new businesses. People have an idea, they pursue it, they open a business, hire people, and those that are successful hire more and more people. In the past, business births always exceeded business deaths, or businesses have gone out of business. No longer. And is there lag? Because this is census data. Now business deaths are exceeding births for the first time in decades. That's why we have so many people that would like to work, can't find a job. Because those new businesses that in the past would be hiring millions of people, it's not happening. That is a stunning statistic. That should have alarm bells ringing. What's going on here? Why? I'll tell you why. We have out-of-control spending driven by what I call Santa Claus socialism, giving people goodies. Obamacare is obviously one of them. This new entitlement, I don't think it's going to be passed, but if it ever got passed, of providing 2 years of tuition free if you meet certain conditions. Government spending is out of control. You need people that want to dramatically cut, and I mean real cuts here. I'm not talking about cutting the rate of growth of spending. And what I really mean is, and what needs to be done, is you have 8 to 10 federal departments that need to be closed down. There's no need for them. Try that. Do you hear anyone in Congress in either the Republican or Democratic Party recommending that? There are a few that would, but the answer is no, because both parties are big spending, big government parties. One party, the Democratic Party, talks like a bunch of progressives. They used to call themselves liberals. Now most of them call progressives. In Europe, they would be called social democrats or welfare statists or socialists. They want to expand tremendously the size and scope in government and make people dependent on the government. So you're beholden to them. And what they're trying to do is to expand their voter base by giving citizenship to the 30 to 50 million plus illegal immigrants that are here. Illegal aliens. They're not immigrants. They're illegals. That's what Barack Obama is up to. And this is just the first step. 5 million is just the first step. Now, I'm not going to make this a show on immigration, but based on what the U.S. Border Patrol is saying in terms of the relationships of people they arrested or detained, and how many people actually get in, the range is between 30 and 50 million illegal aliens that are already here. They're here, they're working, and they're living. And those are the people that the Democratic Party want to give citizenship to. Now, I need to wrap up. I just got the signal that I need to wrap up the show, and I need to save the file. So I'll continue this tomorrow. But what I think is going to happen is the Republican leadership under John Boehner is going to try to pull a fast one on the American people. They're not going to get away with it, by the way. Too many talk show hosts, too many Republicans, I'm no longer a Republican, I'm a conservative libertarian, are going to call John Boehner on this. And should they try to, they're going to try to pass in a number of packages so-called comprehensive immigration reform, but not in one big bill in pieces. He's going to double-cross the people, and he thinks he can get away with it. And then Obama is going to say, well, since the Democrats have done this, I'll sign that legislation, and I'll back off. That's what I think is going to happen. That's going to play out, and it's going to play out in the next 4 to 6 weeks. With that, I have to close the show. Thank you for listening. I'll spend more time on this tomorrow. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio.